I used to dread middle school dances. The angst began with the whole, should I go or just bag the whole thing? Among my circle of friends, conversations went something like this. You know, that dance is on Friday. You going? I don't know, maybe. How about you? I'm not sure yet. Is Chris going? He says he'll go if we go. And so it went until we finally decided we should go. Not necessarily because we wanted to go, but because it would do more harm to our social reputations not to go, which I usually ended up regretting. The awkwardness of it all, the beady little eyes of the chaperoning geometry teacher, the loud music that I wasn't really into, the cute girl I secretly liked who someone else had the nerve to ask to dance, the self-conscious standing around with friends as we tried desperately to look like we were having fun, the technical term for our approach to the whole scene was wallflower. Sometimes when people hear this passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain, they think Christians are little more than wallflowers, spiritual doormats who allow themselves to be trampled upon because they're supposed to be nice. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Turn the other cheek. Forgive those who do you wrong. On the surface of things, this is a recipe for being walked all over. A calling card of the meek and weak. If you love your enemies, you'll be exploited. If you do good to those who hate you, you'll be taken advantage of. If you bless those who curse you, you'll become a laughingstock. If you pray for those who abuse you, you'll be bullied. If you turn the other cheek, you'll be smacked again. Maybe Jesus is just soft, a snowflake. Because as we all know, if you really want to succeed in life, you should hate your enemies and do ill to those who hate you and curse those who curse you and abuse those who abuse you. That's the recipe for success. Might make rights, only the strong survive. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. We hear a lot about toxic masculinity these days. Hyper-aggressive and overly competitive males who have an inability to express emotion and refuse to admit to any vulnerability and weakness. In its worst form, toxic masculinity devalues women and anything and anyone that doesn't live up to a perceived white heterosexual ideal. Toxic masculinity not only tears down others by playing on our power differentials, it also slowly kills men from the inside out. While there's bluster on the outside, there's deep fear on the inside. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of intimacy. When men are shut off emotionally, what results is stoicism at best, and an emotional deadness at worst, none of which is healthy for anyone involved. The men themselves or anyone they interact with at home or at work. Toxic masculinity is also the antithesis of this morning's gospel. These words of Jesus would be mocked and laughed at if they were posted on Twitter or suggested by a consultant as part of a new corporate strategy. Love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. That's a recipe for losers. You may as well just roll out the welcome mat for the corporate raiders or turn in your man card, because it's all coming crashing down around you. And yet those who have followed Jesus have used this recipe for weakness to change the world. It hasn't always been easy. It has often come at great cost. 2 years ago this very week, a group of us were in South Africa making our initial pilgrimage to that beautiful and heartbreaking country. Since then, we've hosted a group of teens from our partner parishes, many of whom stayed in your homes. And some of you just returned from a mission trip to renew our relationship and experience South Africa firsthand. Nelson Mandela embodied the gospel of Jesus Christ by holding fast to the words we heard this morning. Not because it was easy, 27 years living in harsh prison conditions is a high price to pay, but because it was the way of freedom, peace, justice, and Jesus. Mandela's story from prisoner to president has become well known. And while there is still a tremendous amount of work to be done in South Africa, breaking the bonds of apartheid remains one of the world's most inspiring stories of a people overcoming oppression. But this morning, in light of Jesus's countercultural words of love, I want to share the story of another lesser-known African, a Ugandan martyr named Jenani Luwum. Frankly, I'd never heard of him until someone nominated him for Lent Madness a number of years ago. But his story has stuck with me. Luwum was born in Uganda in 1922. Briefly worked as a school teacher before studying divinity in London and being ordained an Anglican priest. In 1969, he was consecrated Bishop of Northern Uganda, which soon after coincided with the overthrow of the government by the notorious dictator Idi Amin. Some of you may recall hearing about the brutal era of repression and the bloodbath that ensued in this landlocked East African country. Hundreds of thousands of people were murdered for being of the wrong ethnicity or the wrong religion or simply not showing adequate allegiance to Amin and his government. In 1974, Luwum became Archbishop of Uganda at a time when the cauldron of tension between church and state became increasingly heated. During this period, he continued to call out the human rights abuses when few dared to publicly defy Amin. The Archbishop was quoted as saying, "I face daily being picked up by the soldiers. While the opportunity is there, I preach the gospel with all my might. And my conscience is clear before God that I have not sided with the present government, which is utterly self-seeking. I have been threatened many times. Whenever I have the opportunity, I have told the president the things the churches disapprove of. Friends, that is not being a wallflower or a spiritual doormat. And yet it is following precisely the words of this morning's gospel. Jenani Luwum did not fight violence with violence. Rather, he fought violence with love and prayer and blessings. He resisted injustice, advocated for his people with fervor and compassion, and called out the abuses and excesses of an oppressive and sinful regime. He died a martyr, gunned down in a hail of bullets. But his courage continues to serve as a model of hope and inspiration to Ugandans as well as Christians throughout the world. Certainly to me. As a final exclamation point on the fact that in the end, the way of the cross is ultimately stronger than the way of the hammer, I read an article just yesterday about a reconciliation that has taken place between the descendants of Jenani Luwum and the descendants of Idi Amin on the 42nd anniversary of the Archbishop's martyrdom. Remarkably, a group of Amin's kinsmen, who are now Christians, reached out to Archbishop Luwum's widow. One of them said, "Mama Luwum forgave us. We slept at their home. We asked for forgiveness on behalf of the people who sinned." And they have called for February 16th, the anniversary of Luwum's assassination, to become an annual national day of reconciliation in Uganda. My brothers and sisters, that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not theoretical or something that you read about in a book. That's real. And that's what this is all about. That's why we gather together week after week after week to hear and experience and be touched by the power of resurrection and the lives of others and in our own lives as well.